A bit earlier, just a little bit earlier. So I would like to share the opposite of what we shared last week, which is very important.
Way to drive us crazy, Rabbi.
No, this is good. Then that's the only way we get to the emes.
Okay.
And it doesn't contradict. Opposites don't contradict. But let me just begin with a simple, which is fascinating. And I know that I'm sure we have spoken about this in the past because it definitely grabs my imagination, and that is the bulk of this week's parsha is about the mitzvah to put together beautiful garments for the kohanim. And the topic of garments is a topic that Chassidus speaks about a lot. It's a big part of life. It's a big source of livelihood from many people, including my families. Many Yidden that I know are in the what we call the shmata business. And I know the word shmata could have a negative connotation. It did not mean that for those people who make a living from it. Even if the clothing are not that expensive, they're not shmatas. If you believe what you have is a shmata, first of all, that's a mistake. And second of all, no one will buy it, ultimately. If you want to be successful, shmata means it's not you. Something external to you. Clothing are external to you, but they're not that external to you. They're not that external. If you were to wear someone else's garments, you would be very uncomfortable in them. Especially if something is almost your size, but not mamish. That's the worst. That means if you're wearing something that's 50 sizes bigger, you're wearing a house. But there's something personalized about a beged. And Chassidus speaks so much about garments in the context of how our actions and words and thoughts are our garments. Garments don't only have to be physical, but we're human beings. It's easier to begin with the physical, and then the better we understand the tangible, the easier it will be to go a little bit up and apply it to a higher type of garment, and then it's a babushka type of dalit garments, and there's a garment, and there's a garment, and there's a garment, and it goes very, very deep. Like a name is a garment. Like we can really go off on the topic of garments. Specifically, just coming back to the parsha, what's special about the garments of the kehanim wasn't only the detail and importance that the Torah gives to garments, which makes it very relatable, because for most people, maybe for my father's generation, it was more gender-related. Nowadays, non-gender-related, for good or bad, people are into their garments. It's like a big thing. People make shehechiyonu when they buy a garment, which is just a manifestation of a certain type of excitement or, you know, happiness, temporary happiness that people get. You know, yom to buy a new beged, there's a reason for that. No, it's not going to resolve all your life issues, but if you want to perk up your mood, it's just human for you to get a new beged if you could. Levush beged. The word beged means also a rebel, boged. The word beged means someone who's falsifying. You don't see what you get, which is what a beged could be. One could present themselves, even to themselves, in a very inauthentic way, tragically, not even to their awareness. And when you want to understand, so I wanted to say that what's unique about the beged, and I want to come back to this, is that there is a general mitzvah related to garments, men and women. I don't know how careful people are in it. It's actually a very easy mitzvah. Yeah, every mitzvah will have its challenges. The mitzvah of shatnas. Shatnas means that we're not allowed to wear a beged. We can own, we can make, we can sell it to goyim, as long as they won't sell it to a Jew without the Jew's awareness. We're not allowed to wear a garment that has in it wool and linen. What makes this unique is that generally when it comes to mitzvahs, there is a concept called bittul, nullification. Like if a little bit of milk gets mixed into meat, lechatchila, no, we don't do that. But if it happened, We know that, you know, if it's 60 to 1, if there's a ratio where one is so little compared to the other, it becomes halachically batal, and you don't even have to kasher. We have this in almost all areas of halacha, that if the problem is very little, it becomes nullified. We don't have it by Avodah Zarah. We don't have it Chametz and Pesach. We don't have it in Shatnas. It's from the very few exceptions. That means that if I have a garment, no matter how big it is, and how thick it is, and how much it weighs, and the wool, and a little bit of linen, yeah, if you take it out, you're good. It happens to be it's relatively easy to take it out, if it's just a little bit. But if you don't take it out, we're not allowed to wear it. We cannot wear a garment that has wool and linen. I know by the men that even though we could trust the labels, because even though theoretically we don't trust, unless you have a mashgiach, but people that do something for a living, and if they will misrepresent, there's going to be a financial consequence. Halachically, you trust them, right? You can buy certain products, even from non-Jewish sources, because if they would be giving you wrong information, if they were to be caught, they're going to get into financial account. There'll be accountability. It's called mirsas. They are afraid to lie. The people simply don't know. I know by men. Many, many more expensive suits will have a little bit of linen in the felt lining that is behind the collar for men. That's here to make it a little bit sturdier without it being rigid. Actually, the cheaper suits by men will not have it. The more expensive suits could have it. Same thing is in the button holes. So what will the fibers, the threads that strengthen the opening for the button, trapping it, limiting it so it shouldn't spread, making sure it doesn't spread, could have linen in it. I know a manufacturer of suits that gifted me with a suit that retailed a fortune of beautiful suits, simple, beautiful. And I told him, first of all, I thanked him. I told him, you know, we're not allowed to wear wool and linen. He says, no, he made it. He made it in Italy. He knows everything that's in it. And there was shatnas in it. I know for the men, I'm sure for the women also, there's a place in Alta Vista. You can just Google it. It's called the Shatnas Lab. You buy your garment. See, if there's wool and linen everywhere, you have to give back the garment. They can't fix it. I'm talking about, I only know men's garments, that if you do have linen or your son's garments by the collar, it's so easy, even by expensive suits, it won't get ruined. They can remove what is there. This lining could be removed, sometimes by the shoulders inside, they remove it, and they can replace it no matter how good. It's going to be not 99%. I'm not the biggest maven. Mavinim, 100% fixable, if you can remove it. I'm sure by ladies, I'm sure he does the same thing. It's relatively inexpensive. I know my son just gave a suit in there. I think it was $15 or mamash, a very small fee, unless he has to fix it. And then either you get to fix it. He works with great tailors. I'm curious if women are mindful. I don't know. I know that many men are not mindful enough, and that's a pity. Like, you know, I'm not minimizing any mitzvah, but there are certain mitzvahs that pose an assayin. So at least you can relate. Tell a woman you can't put on makeup on Shabbos. Everyone can relate to that. And everyone in their thing, it's a relatable thing. Shatnas, no one has a taiva that I know to wear wool and linen. I never met such a person. It might be the laziness of it, and it's so easy. I want to say it for whoever's listening. And in any large city that you live, you have Shatnas labs. You just Google it. And even if it's in La Brea, I'm saying that's the biggest thing. You have to drive there and drive back. And if it's good, you'll get it back the next day. And even if it's not good, or if there's linen everywhere, or if it's a linen garment, then why wouldn't you want to know? And don't forget, you give back your garment, you get your money back. So you get the joy of buying the garment. I mean, it depends how you look at it. It's strongly advisable for people to use a service for a mitzvah that we're not tempted in. But it's a big deal. The fact that God doesn't allow even bittel, say nullified in 60. We don't say that. So there's such a mitzvah. I know it's not unique, meaning there are, let's say, five categories of mitzvahs where two items that are each one by themselves, 100% kosher, mixing them together is not okay. So wool and linen, who knows? Meat, basa b'chalaf. What else?
Different trees.
Okay, so trees is grafting. Just to know the details, you can put two seeds together. You're not allowed to graft. And everyone has its unique nuance. Because by grafting, if it was grafted, even by a Jew, even knowing it's sinful, that person violated, we are lechatchila allowed to use the fruit. Many of the fruits that we have, maybe even most now, are called murkavim. They're grafted. You know, the reason why we're paying so much money for the esrig, the real reason is, I don't want to say, but the reason why they say we pay so much money is because of the pains that they undergo to make sure that it's not grafted. And grafting doesn't only mean sticking it in, but there is a certain type of precaution that you have to take for the esrig not to be grafted. But other than that, so let's go. So you can't graft. What else can't you do?
I think I have a donkey and a horse.
So you cannot mate. Yeah. You cannot mate animals together, and you cannot crossbreed animals together. What else? So two animals that are not of the same species are not allowed to work together.
Oh, that was a
yeah, very good. There is a nuance of planting. See, in Israel, out of Israel makes a huge difference. Out of Israel, I can have a vegetable patch. Many people have them, and you can put whatever you want in the vegetable patch. Lechatchila, you're not breaking even rabbinic law. In the Holy Land, everyone should own a house there.
Amen.
And plant over there. No. The whole halacha is you cannot mix vegetables. Remember, when we're learning it, and people begin saying gewalt, they begin thinking about their front yard. No, it's all, this is mamish Eretz Yisrael. Some halachas, the Chachamim said, in the whole world, because of Eretz Yisrael, mixing, it's called kilei zeraim, crossbreeding or bringing seeds in close proximity. Even if you're not crossbreeding them, it has to be 6 hand breaths apart. And then there are many details of that. Is prohibited in Israel. Out of Israel, mutar lachatchila. Then there's something special about the vine, a grapevine. That's the strictest, that if you anything was mingled in it, you can't benefit from it. And midrabanan, you can't do it here out of Eretz Yisrael. Midrabanan, since we see that Hashem says that you can't even benefit.
What do you mean mixed into it? Like, can it go around a pole?
Very good. That's not another plant.
Okay.
Another detail is that I know it's too much information, but many people have Baruch Hashem. Trees are allowed, other than grafting, I can bring two trees in close proximity, including a vine. Okay. So if you have an orchard, like here, even here, if you were to have a vine in your backyard, a real vine or a few vines, you can put an apple tree, mamish, next to it. You're not allowed to graft one branch into the other. And there's a way of doing it. There's two ways of doing it. It's a whole chachma. But in close proximity, even in Israel, you can plant in an orchard. You can plant in an orchard anything else that you want. You have land and you have trees and you want to use the land. Sometimes it's even advantageous. You can plant in an orchard of trees, legumes, grains, vegetables. What you cannot do in Israel is plant vegetables and vegetables that are not the same type together, or vegetables and legumes, or grains and grains, even wheat and barley, they have to be separated.
How about herbs?
Herbs is generally in the category of legumes, or let me say like this, anything that's planted, if the main purpose is to eat the stalk, if the herb comes from the stalk, it's going to be in the category of vegetables. Mm-hmm. Any item, plant that's planted with the primary purpose of eating the seed, which could include legumes, it's more in the category of grains, not for brachas, but for these laws. It's very interesting laws. We don't practice it that much because, first of all, we live chutz la'aretz, and I wonder how aware people are. It's fascinating. People will learn the Rambam. You're going to learn the Rambam. He goes through all of these details, and it's very fascinating. And okay, and I just want to point out from that it's not unique to garments, but every one of these prohibitions has its own shade, has its own flavor. Sometimes you can't do it. And if you did it, you can't derive benefit. By a beged, I am allowed to make a beged. I, a yid, I can own a beged. I'm not allowed to wear it. That's it. Okay. By the kohanim, the beged of the kohen has to be shatnas. And that's unique. If God doesn't allow it, you would think that you go into a holier place. It for sure should not be allowed. Where else are we allowed to wear shatnas? By tzitzis. If you have a garment of linen, which rabbinically they prohibited that, but if the beged that you buy for your kids that men wear, we wear wool, but if it would have been made out of linen, even though the strands don't have to be made out of wool, that means if I have a linen garment, I would put on linen strands, that would be okay, but I am allowed to put on wool. And when we wear tcheles, which is a dye that comes from a certain type of snail, it's only a mitzvah if it's dyed on woolen fibers. So tcheles means wool. Ideally, we're supposed to wear tcheles. One is allowed to wear a linen garment and tzitzis with tcheles. That means you are allowed to mix wool and linen when it comes to tzitzis. You don't have to do that because you can wear a woolen garment and woolen tzitzis and woolen tcheles. But by the kohen, they have to wear shatnas. And that's...
Can you give a reason on why we're not?
Very good. So first of all, why can't? And even though the Torah begins in Parshas Kedoshim by writing, Ez chukoisai tishmoiru, choik means God says, guard my commandments that are beyond, bigger than human rationale. Even though it's bigger than human rationale, we have an obligation to try to understand what we could. Hashem himself is bigger than our understanding. There is a mitzvah. That's what we're learning in the Rambam. There's a mitzvah to get to know God. That we learned yesterday, whoever began learning again. The first mitzvah is to know God. To know God, you can't know God. We cannot know a choik, but we're commanded to make an attempt. And I want to share something. But it's not just to understand why we may not. Whatever the reason is, what happens in the temple? Why would it be different in the temple? Okay, so I want to first speak about garments, then we'll go back, then we'll go to shatnas, prohibited mitzvah, obligation. There are two opposite purposes for wearing a garment. And I know there might be many, many more, but it comes back to its root to two. Both of them are written in the Torah. That's why we are able to say this is why people wear garments. Most people, for some reason, I'm speaking about myself, make an association by reading Chumash without Rashi. When you read Chumash with Rashi, if we would learn Rashi properly and remember it, especially Bereshis, because everything is there, we would right away see there are two different roots to garments. What's known, what's explicit in the Psukim, is that prior to sin, they did not wear garments. The Torah says that. And the wearing of the garments is associated with covering up shame. And wording it in different simple language, the benefit of wearing a garment is that if a person has a blemish that they want to cover, the garment covers it. Machaya. Until today. Why are you wearing a garment? It covers a blemish. What would be the other reason of wearing a garment? So first of all, when people say that garments were introduced after sin, it's not necessarily correct. It's not necessarily correct. The Torah writes, I know that in the Chumash, the Pasuk is written right after the story of whatever it is that they did wrong, the Torah writes this verse. And the Torah says that Vayas Hashem Elohim, that God, imagine, not Elohim, Hashem Elohim made La'adam u'le'ishtoi, kosnois oir, a tunic. A tunic is like a jalaba, a robe. Even though people say it's a shirt, it's not the European shirt. It's what people used to wear. Men and women forever wore a robe. Oir, the way we have it spelled, is ayin vav resh. God made for them, or it can mean leather, we'll see soon, a shirt, a robe of oir. And God clothed them in it. Not beged, levush. Says Rashi, not on that verse. That's where people get tricked up, on a verse or two prior. That even though it's written after the sin, Rashi writes, not everyone agrees with Rashi, that God made to Adam and Chava clothing prior to sin. And he gives two interpretations to what that is. He's quoting Chazal. Number one, that oyed means skin, that something similar to our nails was covering the entire body of Adam and Chava prior to the sin. And actually, one of the results of the chait, Eitz Hadas, is that we lost that covering. God clothed them prior to the sin. And as a remnant, as a skeleton, as a reminder of what we had, God allowed us to keep the nails, which are on the extremities, almost like a zecher to how it used to be. Today with AI, if someone can make an image of that, what it looked like, just to know what it looked like, just to physically, I'm curious, like what did they look like? What I don't know what people would look like. We would look different. And that was a plus. That was a plus. There was no imperfection then. They were perfect. They didn't sin. So that type of garment has nothing to do with sin. Or Rashi says that God made for them some sort of fur. Rashi writes rabbit. Maybe you can say it's a mink. A mink doesn't look that different than a rabbit. I know personally, my family name in Polish means a rabbit. Every time there's a rabbit, I get excited. He made for them a rabbit coat. Psh, guys, it's very expensive. It's beautiful. A rabbit fur.
Nicer than mink.
Yeah, nicer than mink for sure. I'm with you. But maybe Arneves. Not that we're so certain what Arneves is, but God made for them a garment. Rabbi Meir, the great Rabbi Meir Balanes, which by the way, oh, we just learned in the Gemara last week. I want to share it. When the Rambam passed away, I know I shared this. This is a tradition. Rambam passed away in Egypt, in the old Cairo. He did not instruct for him to be buried where he is. But when they put his coffin on a camel, the camel began to walk. And it was a domesticated camel, a camel that was trained not to walk unless someone is leading it. So the people there decided that there's a malach. Something is leading the camel. Let's follow the camel. The camel walked all the way to Tiberias. And the Rambam is buried exactly where the camel stopped. Rabbi Meir Balhanes, also in Tiberia. He passed away somewhere in Asia, the Gemara says. And he was in a lot of pain that he's not passing away in Israel. And he didn't want to even be temporarily buried in Chutz La'aretz. So he asked for them to right away place him on the water. Because since the land of Eretz Yisrael is surrounded by water, not only the Mediterranean, but mystically, there are seven seas and there's seven, don't ask, there's so much in Kabbalah about water around Eretz Yisrael. He felt that on the water, he's already halfway there. And his coffin floated and it came out of the Kinneret. And that's why he's buried right off the Kinneret. So that's Stam about How did I get there?
You were saying Rabbi Meir was in the Gemara from last week.
Yeah, but I was trying to say something. Oh, that Rabbi Meir had a Sefer Torah. The one that he wrote that God made for Adam and his wife before she was called Chava. To Adam and to his wife, he made a kosnas oid. He wrote a tunic of light. Mamish. Let me say it like this, that there's an aura that surrounds every person right now. It's light. Because of our sin, we are unable to see it. And imagine if we would have the capacity to see the aura, you wouldn't need garments. You'd be covered. They were covered. And I want to speak a little bit about that aura that has different colors. That Arizal was a master in that. And it's connected to the colors that people put on their garments intuitively. And many people make a parnasa right now, not selling garments, but explaining to you what colors you should have on your garments. I know such people, right? Oh, so one second. This has nothing to do with covering, but it has to do with covering. So here's the word. that I want to use the word to accentuate, if that's the right word, to underline. When you have something or someone that has many, many, many different, let's say, parts or different qualities, different sides. So what we spoke about last week is the emes, that there is an importance on a very deep level not to be a person of parts, to be one person. Why? Because Hashem showed himself to us that way, and we're supposed to be God-like. That means, of course, God has no parts, but we don't know that part of God, the simple plainness beyond us. What Hashem showed to us is that even though, right, there was something called Hashem, something called Elohim, Hashem hu Elohim, Hashem Echad. Hashem Echad means that God, with all of his infinite parts, becomes one. And the more integrated, the more wholesome. Keep that thought. What we're saying now is the opposite. It doesn't matter. It has to be the opposite. There are certain times in which a person will be of benefit either to yourself or to others when you're not celebrating or revealing all of you. Let's say in this room there's a lot of chesed. And you have in you a lot of chesed. So what are you bringing to the table? Why are you here? You're here to bring something that no one else is able. And that might not be your chesed side. That might be your gevura side. And it always works that way. In couples, it always works that way. That whichever attribute one spouse chooses to embody or enclose themselves in, they almost automatically force the other to be the opposite. Because it's all needed. It's all needed. So when one chooses to be disorganized, the other one has to be organized. And then the organized one gets irritated with the disorganized one. But the organized one is part of the problem. Because if the one that thinks is organized, if they would choose to be disorganized, promise you, the disorganized would have to be a bit more organized. It wouldn't work. And that's in everything. So when people always, everyone gets frustrated, like they're the opposite. They're the opposite because you're the opposite. Like who's the cause, who's the effect? And that person almost has to be the opposite because what are they bringing to the table if they're just going to clone that which you already brought to the table? It'll be dysfunctional. It's going to be too one-sided for things to be wholesome. Here we're speaking about a concept where every person embodies one attribute. They embody, they exercise, they enclose themselves in one attribute. So what does a garment do? A garment covers the imperfection. You can look at it that way. Or you can say a garment accentuates, if that's the word, or it underlines the needed perfection. That which people are thirsting for because it's not here, if you have that, you'll be of greater benefit when that is concealed. You're not coming to be more of the same. You're coming to bring something that is not here. One thing. So if there's a lot of yellow, you're not going to come with yellow, especially by women intuitively. I think it bothers you people, right? If someone is wearing the same thing. Yeah, because Ishkoyach, no, we don't want that. You're yellow, yeah, what's that? Whatever the opposite of a yellow is. I'm the opposite. So when you, everything, according to Kabbalah, every white has in it all of the colors. And the proof that Hasidus brings, it's a crazy thing, that if you have a circle and you divide it up, and in every little sliver, put another shade. Go from white till black. All of the colors. If you spin it, you would think that you should get the average, like gray, or you would get whatever, the in-between. No, it's going to become pure white. That's why when the light hits the crystal, if you separate, not what we spoke about last week, not integrate, if you separate, you'll have different colors. And really, how did you get one color? How did it become red? You know how it became red? Not by becoming red. The red was already in the white. You know how it became red? You covered all the other colors. So when you covered all the other colors, what is left uncovered? That which you want to expose, that which you want to underline, that which you want to put the spotlight on. A cute thing, I don't mind being recorded for your kids for Shaduchim. So recently, you had pictures. A Shidduch, two pictures, and they look like two different people. It's the craziest thing. That's the koyach today of whether it's the makeup that your people put on or the clothing. That you look at this and it's not the same person. It's the same person. Unbelievable. Because in other words, clothing, they do both. It's not only to cover up whatever it is that you want to cover up. It covers up one thing to allow the other thing to be distinct, to be special. Because if everything is coming out, there is the beauty of you got the whole thing, everything is integrated, but we want things at times to be standing on their own. What's needed right now in this food is sugar. God forbid, I don't mean healthy sugar. Or this, why? You want everything to be, no. I already have this and the that and the other. Don't come and make it integrated. I need a cake, or I need the whatever. I need the vegetable. I have protein. I don't need more protein. There was something important in life of learning how to underline one quality. And by the way, that's even when a person is working on themselves. Even if you want to be critical on yourselves, you know, when people say, oh, I have to become better. Who? All of me. My whole thing is not good. It doesn't work that way. Even though it's true, what has to be done better, more successful, is you pick one thing. Pick one thing. Here, I'm working on this. Remember in yeshiva, I was taught that. That was a very good life lesson. Make a hachlata to be a better bacher. My Rosh Yeshiva says, saying that and doing and saying nothing is the same thing. Because it's too vague. It's too big. Pick one thing. But I'm picking one thing. I want to be integrated. Yeah, you have to be integrated. But on the other hand, you have to sometimes pick one and express that, work with that. Either good is good, make it better. With kids, same way. Sometimes what kids need is for you to see their good side. Doesn't mean that there is another time in which you have to see the whole picture. And it could be there is a time where you have to focus on their lack. If that is the right thing that they need, even though we would prefer to be the nice one, but you have to know what's needed, and whichever role is needed from us, however you come to that determination, sometimes you have to focus on one idea. Okay. So Beged has both. Covering, revealing. But when it comes to revealing, it's not revealing all of you. No, the whole purpose of a Beged is dafka, not revealing all of you, revealing whatever it is you want for it to be revealed. And that has to happen by you concealing the rest. If you don't conceal the rest, then you can't reveal that. And that's exactly how Big Adam work. Think about it. When people wear Big Adam, it's either I want to be invisible, sometimes I don't want to be seen, or the latter. Okay. So now the question is, when should I work on integration and when should I work on individuation? On one individual thing. When? And everything, nothing is allowed to be too concretized. So what I'm sharing is just a concept. And the concept is right and it does it, and it's good for it to be contradicted. I want to say that also about going in the opposite directions. It's important to go in the opposite directions. If not, we get it wrong. We don't get it right. It's not like, just tell me how it is. That's why whoever learns Hasidus, when we're younger, we get frustrated, mamish, because you'll see one mimer says one thing, and then the next mimer says the opposite. Yeah, that means it's closer to the emes. So So I'm sharing a concept, which is like this. In the inner world, integration is the way to go. In the outer world, individuation is the way to go. The deeper I get within me, the more my avoid will be. What we spoke about last week is that I should not see myself, I have this part and that part, I'm one being. What we have to see all of it, and we have to see how it's all one. That is when we are working within ourselves, for ourselves. When I am interacting with the world, when I'm enter, which is exactly what a beged represents, it represents you interfacing with the world around you. The primary focus should be, you walk into a room, what am I needed here for? Like if you're a mission-oriented person, and if what you're needed for is to do or not to do, do that, and do that good. Don't copy what the other person is doing. No one will want you here. We want diversity. Diversity in the way not everyone should be everything. Yeah, if there's no one else here, you have to be everything. No, but amongst chevre, adarabba, pick your quality and run with it, right? So certain people, they're good in that color. We don't force. No. You have it all within you. Yes, they have it all within them. But if this is their forte, why not learn about this is my strong part? That's how I would like for me to be represented in the group. Whether it's coming from my ego, which is not ideal, or whether it's coming for the emes, this is what I'm needed for. You know, Pirkei Avos, b'makim she'enish, she'stad al yashish. If there's no man, be the man. Not man, not woman. Means that when you go into an environment, you'll do the greatest good if you can shmek, if you can sense, what can I bring to the table? Not to compete with the other. What can I be that no one else is? For my being here to be even more meaningful, and that might be a niche, that will be a certain, and it turns out that way always in a group. This one ends up being the one that, this one brings the joy, this one brings the seichel, this one brings the midas, this one brings the chaos, everyone, in a good way, everyone brings, and everything can be in the good, everything can be bad. And then that's my garment, that's my color. Okay. All of this will work. What I'm saying right now was a maimer from the Rebbe Rashab, which is Gavaldik. And that is that for whatever reason, wool is a physical manifestation of chesed. And linen is a representation, begashmias, of gevura. Of gevura. Chesed gevura. So the kasha is, aren't we supposed to be balancing chesed and gevura? Isn't it a wonderful thing? Not in begadim. Inside of me, in the inner me, if I only live with my chesed or only live with my gevura, since I have both, I am unrectified, and there'll be dysfunction. The functional person, the rectified person, will be a person that will learn how to embrace the right hand and their left hand. And not to be a one-handed person. Sometimes thinking they only have the right and sometimes thinking they only have the left. That's the inner avodah. In the world out there, it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. Because if the environment is of gevura, then you know what you need to be? Chesed. Don't copy the other. It should bother you that you're wearing the same beged of someone else. Then, in other words, this is not an ego. It can also be an ego. Like, I don't want to be like everyone else. No. Attack it. Why are you here? Hashem has 8 billion people, not that 8 billion the same. We even tell our kids, find out, you know, for Parnassah, find out what you excel in. And every person has taka something special. And do that. There's a logic to that. That's not becoming wholesome. That's not working up your weakest link. No, that's celebrating. That's celebrating, that's using, that's garbing yourself in your unique gift. And you don't have to copy someone else. You don't have to be someone else. Be the way you are, unique. But in the Beis HaMikdash is an inner place. The Beis HaMikdash is the place where you're not interacting with others. You're interacting with you. You're interacting with God. And that explains, so in the Beis HaMikdash, it's a mitzvah to have chesed and gevura. Beis HaMikdash is integration. And I'll give you another great example of that. I touched upon it last week, but it's how we're not allowed to make statues. We're not allowed to make statues. How did Hashem want us to make a statue in the Kodesh HaKadoshim? Like you're saying, the opposite. Yeah, it works that way. Because what is a statue? What's the kosher statue? Let's speak about, like we said last week, integrating opposites, seeing how they are one is where you get close to God. You want to find God? Opposites becoming one, you're getting close to Hashem. Think about the luchos. What's the luchos? What's the luchos? The word of God becoming part of, first of all, something physical. Not only something physical, sapphire. Sapphire is the most material gashmi, because sapphire was the most expensive stone until De Beers, with propaganda, convinced you that diamond is more expensive. Just for the record, diamonds are not the most precious stone. The most precious stone in the world is sapphire. That's why the luchos are sapphires. And Hasidus says, the first tablets, where did the sapphires come from? From the heavens, whatever that means. That means Moshe Rabbeinu went up with nothing. He came down with the luchos, and they broke. What luchos remained whole? The second luchos. What's the second luchos? Moshe Rabbeinu got physical sapphires. So look at you're talking about integration. Hashem's word engraved through and through on the most gashmi item, sapphire. Opposites. One, not written letters, engraved letters. The unity between God and the world, if it's mamish one, then there's no idol. Then when you look at the kruv, you're seeing how the physical is God's word. When you live perfectly integrated, a statue that's not made to separate itself, I am. No. A statue that's representing Hashem. A statue that's expressing God. Psh, Gavaldik. That was the kavana of the Chet HaEgel. Or that's the way Hasidim look at a Rebbe, in a good way. It's not the Rebbe. He's perfect tzaddik. Mamish bottle to God. Mamish. Bottle to God. When the Rebbe spoke, the Rebbe wasn't thinking what to say the way we think. We have a plan. People walk by him the whole time. The Rebbe didn't get tired from it because it wasn't work. He wasn't doing anything. We don't know what that means, not to do anything. Hashem was the doer. Hashem doesn't get tired. Hashem connects to the tzaddik perfectly, and the words are Shechina speaks from the throat of the tzaddik. Don't forget, Moshe Rabbeinu wrote the Torah. We say, no, God wrote the Torah. Not a contradiction, because he was a perfect tzaddik. On a very deep level, we don't have a problem with Hashem becoming one with anything, because everything is integrated. Everything is, there's a oneness, Hashem Echad. But outside the Beis HaMikdash, you're not allowed to do that. Because outside the Beis HaMikdash, we don't live on that level. We don't live the whole time on that level of inner wholesomeness. Not only we don't because we're flawed, we're not meant to. It's like when you go to a wedding, you are meant to wear one type of baguette. When you go to a funeral, the right thing is to wear a different type of baguette. Not because you're disingenuous, not because you're faking. No. Because you're bringing to the wedding joy, manifested through begotten of joy, whatever that looks like. When you're going to a place of sadness, then go there black, whatever that represents. Even begashmius, ultimately, right? By a funeral, people wear black, and by a wedding, people wear white. The color wears white. The concept, whatever, however you interpret it. Why? What are you? Aren't you supposed to be both? No, we're not supposed to walk around with white polka-dotted black. Ooh, integrating. No. On your beged, dafke, don't do that. And I'm sure that if people put together the wrong colors, they look like meshuga. We don't say integrated. Not that everything has to be one color. I would even argue that the reason why by the men it turned out, it came to me, that we wear black and white the whole time that's for the men, is because it's almost like you should be more in the presence of God. In the presence of God, black and white, together. And that's it. But when you're living out there in the world, wear a colorful garment. And according to what part of you has to be revealed, which other parts have to be concealed, and that's the way it works. So inside the Beis HaMikdash, you can have a statue. I know the word statue sounds horrible. You have Kruvim. And the Kruvim is Mamish the Shechina. The Shechina was through the gold. Yeah. Because there is where we're working inside of me. I have to work on integrating myself. It's called in Chassidus, it's an Avoida Pnimius. This is very important. And don't think that you're doing everyone a favor. When you are a greater integrated person, I want you to know that when you walk into a room, people sense it. But what part of me senses it? The inner part of me just senses the inner part of you. But we don't only live on that level. We also live on the world. We live more on the peripheral. Hashem put us on the peripheral. We don't live in the earth. We live in the earth after we die. We live above the earth. Even though you have this thing that people are living under the earth, could be, the Chazal say that, but that's not the people that we know. We live on the top of the land. That's because we are meant to live, you're laughing, we're meant to live on top of the land. I'm not going to walk around 24-7 looking at my chesed and my gevura. No. People in their work. This person is an accountant. That person is a doctor. You don't say, oh, be everything. Inside, there is the doctor in you. We all have that. The healer. Everyone thinks they're a healer and you're the accountant. We all have that. Bipnimius. And then we have to put it all together. The
chitzonius. Rabbi, what if someone's in business?
Yes.
And then they come and say business is business. So they're going to business. They're wearing their business baguette and then they're acting in a business stick away.
There was a place for that. No doubt.
That's how you started last week.
I know that. I know that. I'm saying the opposite. I'm very happy. That means I'm getting closer to someplace. And how do you reconcile it? As a rule, with exceptions, that in the outer world, we wear garments. The more out, the more beged. A beged is to cover a part of me, not burqa. To cover a part for the part that fits in that world for that to be. Mamish, that's what a beged is. Perfect. Not to cover, to reveal. You cover to reveal something else. You're not faking. You had that, but you don't want people to see other things.
Distraction.
Well,
or enhancement.
It's both. It's an enhancement. But the way you make the enhancement, it's both. You enhance mm-hmm. by, for that. Yeah, so.
Take away the distraction.
So if you want to enhance beauty, then cover up the ugliness. If you want to reveal the ugliness, which is important, I'm saying even on ourselves, like when we do tshuva, shamnu baganu, we don't say, ashamnu, but I also did good, which is true. We don't do it then. Why? Because I know that. But but there is a time where if you want to, like you go to a doctor, the guy, look how healthy my hand is. No, but the problem is on the left hand, but why didn't you get the whole picture? No. The doctor, if the right hand is good, he's not going to look at it. You know, you want him to look at the... When a chassid came to the Rebbe, what do you think they wanted the Rebbe to see? He wanted the Rebbe to see the good, I know. That was a cop-out. But I'm saying a real chassid went to the Rebbe, like in Yechidus. What do you think a chassid did? The real chassidim. They came there with their problem. Well, Havdol, if you go to therapy, you think you're helping yourself? If you're presenting yourself like you're the big tzaddik? What good will come from that? We're not denying you have a tzaddik part. Good. Don't minimize it. Not now. Now, cover the tzaddik and expose the ugly and have the person look at it. Business is business.
How do you know when you're showing up to business that you're bringing the right blend of whatever you're supposed to bring? Maybe he was supposed to be a little softer in business.
In my experience, when I heard that, it didn't sound right to me, and it wasn't helpful. So that actually, I don't think that was correct. But there is a time and place. There is a time and place where the avoida is integration, and that's temple, and that's kedusha. I see that as holy, getting close to God. And we don't live in the temple. We're not meant to live in the temple. If we would have Shabbos the whole week, I think it would take away from Shabbos. We're meant to have this and that. And when you go out of the temple, when you go out of your home, you get dressed. Pasha, on any level. And when you get out of the, when you get out of your home, it's more okay to be dressed in a certain way. It's okay for you to present yourself to the world out there in a specific way. If it's coming from your ego, then it's not good. But if it's coming from the mission, then it's 100% okay. It's the way the world works, I think. But that person who, an accountant is like very, if he at home is an accountant, I feel bad for everyone. Everything always get cheshbent. A little bit, maybe be generous. Be a little bit fluffy by the numbers. And everything else that way, that's a, in integration, out, there's a mitzvah to wear a beged. In the Beis HaMikdash, the begadim can be mixed. A mitzvah is kedusha. Mitzvah is integration.
Quick question regarding the fruits. What about these hybrid fruits, like apricot and plum?
Once it's done, you can eat it. It's interesting. Once it was made, you can eat it. Just concluding with a beautiful story. I heard the story was with a Tzemach Tzedek, that there was a chassid who became very successful. And in those days, there was real discrimination against Yiddishkeit in Russia. And even though they tolerated him being a religious Jew, but there were certain standards of a certain way of dressing that wasn't conforming the Hasidic minhag. Whether you have to wear gloves when you go to the restaurant or whatever it was. And he conformed. And when he would go to visit the Rebbe, he would take off those garments and put on Hasidic garments. And then he began to tell himself that I'm a hypocrite. If I'm allowing myself to dress with my gloves over there, then I'm going to come to the Rebbe with my gloves. And he came to the Rebbe dressed as he would go to business. And the Rebbe told him, I always thought that when you are a Hasid, when you wore the gloves in business, that was like your dress up for the part, for the show. And now, what are you telling me? You're telling me that you are the businessman and the dress up is the chassid. And the Rebbe told him it should not be that way. What the Rebbe was telling him, it's okay to have a garment here and a garment there. But we have to know, b'pnimius, who do I want to be? So who do I want to be? I want to be an integrated person, no doubt. I want to reach a level where I'm wearing chesed and gevura. But I'm not there yet. And when I'm not there, then I should dress according to my purpose. And that will mean to cover anger. A person is angry. So since they have anger in them, they should be angry at home. God forbid. That's the time where you cover your anger, you deal with it with yourself, and you bring out your kindness. You bring out your good midah. And that's the right way to be. That's the right way to be. And that would even make sense that even before the sin, there was some type of beged. There was some sort of beged on the person. And just to conclude, just that if the beged were the nails, that means if it was a mink coat you could remove. A mink coat you could remove before the chet. You can take it off. If it was the nails, you can't remove your nails. That means that there's something about a beged that's even needed for yourself. Even needed in the avoid of integration, there is some need of having some sort of beged. There always has to be this inner and outer. Always has to be inner and outer. So the people that, the problem with all the social media is when people began to blur that line of privacy. Privacy is good. Even to yourself. Not because you're covering up. There is what we do in the house, what you do out there. There's private, not secretive. There's private and there's public. And a beged has that aspect. Because a beged covers, not a cover up in a bad way. It represents, there's a place and there's a place. No matter how deep you go, place for this, a place for that. This color, that color. It was colorful. If everything is integrated, then it should be white. And by the way, most of the garments were white. But you still, you find in the Kohen Gadol, wow. Red and purple and white and gold. These were the main colors. Even the Kohen Gadol. In the Holy of Holies, white. White is everything. But in the Beis HaMikdash,
when did he wear the clothes that were mixed?
He wore it the whole time. Not when he went into the Holy of Holies.
So only, because even though in Holy of Holies we have this, the Kovim, which is also
because this is beautiful. The reason why Rashi writes is because in the very colorful garments, there was gold. A Kohen Aaron's failing was with the golden calf. So the Keruvim were not a person.
It was gold.
It was gold. That's what God wants. God wants to show that the gold and God can become one. That the gold can become completely bottled to God. But a person, even a Kohen Gadol, Aaron, who failed with gold, there was a separation of the golden calf. It became an idol. We should not wear gold. Even in the Holy of Holies. Theoretically, he should have worn it. In other words, he's not wearing it because we're human. Because even the greatest tzaddik...
Because if it's not Aaron, after Aaron passed away, there was other Kohanim. We carry that weakness.
Uh-huh. We carry that weakness. Which is a beauty. It's not a weakness as a bad thing. We carry the weakness of being all too human. And we have to own that. In other words, to think that we will be perfect is a delusion that's unhealthy.
No, but that's somebody else's sin.
It's like since Adam and Chava sinned, we all bear that sin. We come with a blemish. The brand new garment that you paid, who knows what, comes with a blemish. Everything comes blemished, which, by the way, is a good thing. You're relieved. People get relieved. When people buy a new car, I see, after they give the first knock, then they enjoy it more. It's very painful. Okay, it's perfect is very suffocating.
Isn't that also the Indian poem that everything's a little broken? I don't remember the quote.
Could be. Wow. All right.